Hey, everyone. Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.
Our WSBT radio studios in downtown South Bend.
Let's go! Come on!
Welcome to Budweiser's weekday sports beat.
Wow, don't blink. A lot of major intestinal fortitude going on here.
On your home for Notre Dame football.
Knocked down by Wooden. The game is over. The Irish has upset Florida State. Notre Dame is number one.
And Notre Dame basketball.
Number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame.
Good! Arike Ogunbowale wins the national championship for Notre Dame.
Plus, Fighting Irish hockey.
They score! Jake Evans scores! Notre Dame 3.7 seconds away from a spot in the national championship game.
The NFL and Major League Baseball.
Oh my gracious, how about that?
Sports Radio 960 WSBT, WSBTradio.com, the free WSBT radio app.
Big time onions!
Now, here's your host, seven-time Associated Press Broadcasting Award winner, Darren Pritchett.
Well, happy May Day. Welcome to the first day of May here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat as we broadcast live on 960 AM WSBT, streaming live at WSBTradio.com on our free WSBT radio app. Two-camera shot right now available on the Twitch app. I'm Darren Pritchett, joined by Eric Hansen, the Hall of Fame writer, publisher, and editor at InsideIndySports.com. He covers Notre Dame athletics as part of the Rivals Network. And as you listen to tonight's program, we would love for you to browse Eric's website, InsideIndySports.com. 8 minutes after 5 o'clock, a beautiful day here in South Bend. If you're listening on the stream, hopefully you've got sunshine and temperatures in the 70s today as well. In fact, maybe we're at 80. I don't even know. But a beautiful day here in the South Bend area. All right. Eric is here, so that means we are talking plenty of Notre Dame football. We're going to talk about the closing halfway of the transfer portal. Kenny Minchie. Are the Irish in pursuit of anyone in the transfer portal? We'll talk a little recruiting as well. Dallas Golden, a very interesting name, picked the Fighting Irish recently. We'll dig into some of the Notre Dame players going in the NFL draft last week. Also, we've got our Twitter question of the day results and brand new question. We've got our sports wagering segment and also some recruiting talk later on. It is going to be a jam-packed show. No South Bend Cubs baseball tonight. They already played at Lansing earlier today here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. So pull up a chair. Eric and I are going to be just like at the barber shop, just chopping it up. Not hair, but chopping up Notre Dame football conversation.
I'll cut your hair if you want me to.
I'm good right now, thank you. I appreciate it. And
would
you're
you
looking
like a steaming hot towel?
Oh, remember those days. I think we had one of those live on the show way back when, one of our former co-hosts, when we were on remote at a haircut place that offers the hot steam towel, they got it during the show. Very relaxing. I've never had one. Have you?
I have not. And I've never been in first class on an airplane either, so I think you might get that, or at least on the Seinfeld episode where they were in first class, they got sundaes and hot towels and all kinds
of stuff.
Oh, really?
Okay. I don't remember that episode.
Yeah, I was like, More of anything? More of everything. And Elaine had to sit back and coach.
Of course. Of course. There had to be controversy, right? There always had to be. And we all knew it was Roger McDowell in the bushes the whole time. Okay. We've got some football conversation to get rolling here on our opening topics here on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. All right, Eric, lay it out here. Transfer portal for the spring for undergraduates. The portal is now closed. Nobody else can put their name in, correct?
Correct. They can, the people that are in didn't have to pick by last night, but you had to have your name in by last night. So if it wasn't, you are staying on your roster. And then today is the last day for grad transfers at midnight. That closes, and people would say, well, wait a second, I thought grad transfers weren't subjected to the transfer portal windows. Up until about a week ago, that was the case, and the NCAA kind of snuck through a little piece of legislation in which they did put that deadline on grad transfers, and that this is going to be going forward for all sports. So it's been pretty quiet for Notre Dame
and
on both fronts.
Does your gut tell you it's going to be quiet?
I do. I don't know of any, I can't think of anybody or know of anybody that is going to join that brigade. But Notre Dame is over the 85 scholarship limit, so I'm sure you have questions about that.
Yes, I do. But we're going to start with kind of an obvious name right off the bat. Since the undergraduate deadline to go into the portal has come and gone, Notre Dame quarterback Kenny Minchie is still on the roster. In fact, all four quarterbacks are still on the roster post-deadline. We had a brief exchange before the show started, and I made a remark. Kenny Minchie had a tough decision to make, I thought, and I think he made a good choice, and I'm glad he stuck around. And then you said maybe the decision wasn't that hard after all. Give your reasoning.
Yeah, I didn't think it was, and I'll say this. I just had my live chat today, and there were a lot of questions about the remaining four players. But let's start with Kenny Minchie. You know, some people thought Steve Angeli would take off. For me, Kenny Minchie is just finishing his freshman year as a student at Notre Dame. He redshirted last season. That means he has 4 years left, including this 2024 season coming up. For me, where was he going to go? There weren't a lot of attractive spots to go. There probably wouldn't have been a guarantee that he'd be a starter. So really, he would be giving up, you know, again, for me, Kenny Minchie went into the spring not thinking he was going to be the 2024 starter, but wanting to position himself to be the 2025 starter. I think in his mind, he hasn't lost ground. He feels like even though CJ Carr had a great spring, and Steve Angeli has more experience, Kenny Minchie got some valuable reps. And I think Kenny Minchie feels valued by this coaching staff and that he's getting a fair shot. And so I think a lot of that plays into it. When he goes through this next season, then he'll have 3 years of eligibility left, which is plenty of time to start somewhere if your goal is to be an NFL quarterback. And he will have a lot more programs that are interested in him. So many were able to settle that and go through their new quarterback in the spring. I'm not saying Kenny Minchie couldn't start for somebody, but really, do you want to play on a team that's irrelevant and start for them and maybe not develop into an NFL quarterback? Or have a chance to do that at Notre Dame with Mike Denbrock as the offensive coordinator, with Gino Gadulli as the quarterback's coach, and Marcus Freeman as your head coach, being around a guy, Riley Leonard, who has some experience, and Steve Angeli. I just think there's lots of reasons to stay. And then you look at the rest of the picture, Darren. Notre Dame is competitive in the NIL space, so it's not like, you know, there's tons of schools where Kenny Minchie would get a better deal there. The other thing, somebody brought this up to me today, is that the players that have come in from other schools and even some big-time programs like Devin Ford coming in from Penn State, he's like, Notre Dame is really, really, you guys should appreciate this place. And I think that speaks to guys that are a little bit on the fence as far as, now Kenny Minchie's not nowhere near graduation. Steve Angeli, the calculus was different because if he stays, he is really close to getting a Notre Dame degree after the season.
Steve Angeli is one play away from being the starting quarterback. So I think his decision was really easy unless he just wanted to go.
I thought it was too, but I have people that certainly had questions and some that predicted he would be gone, and I didn't think so.
He could be the starting quarterback in a playoff game at Notre Dame Stadium in December. Who knows? That's very possible. Things happen. Riley Leonard did not expect to get his ankle messed up by Howard Cross back in September when he was thinking about the season in June. You know, things happen. But for Minchie, I love what you said there. And the more you think about it, if Kenny Minchie had six starts under his belt and people had tape on him, somebody might take a right. chance on him. But for him to have nothing really on tape other than four throws and to try to become the starter somewhere else and you're going into the portal in late April, that's pretty risky and unlikely for that to work out absolutely perfect unless you just go to a really small school, which you don't want to do. If you want to go to a Power 5 school, pretty much every school has their guy, and they're not going to hand over the starting job to a guy with his resume at this point. So, like you said, hang out with Gino, Coach Denbrock, go through the season, get better as a quarterback, and then at the end of the year, you probably are going to have a good idea if they like you or CJ Carr better.
Right. It's not like Riley Leonard will come back for another year, so it'll be one of those three will be the 2025 quarterback. Suppose you can throw Deuce Knight in there, but I do not expect him to compete for the starting job. Even if he ends up being a five-star, I don't expect him to be the guy coming in the door. I think one of the other three would win the job first, and then Deuce Knight would try to compete then the following year.
You can learn a lot from the players ahead of you during this season that might help you grow and put you in a position when it's time for you to make a decision. You're going to be ready.
Steve Angeli says, I can't say this enough, how much Sam Hartman being here helped me develop as a quarterback, helped me get great work habits, great approach. He is so thankful that Sam Hartman. I know there are fans that are like, Sam Hartman. But, you know, he was really grateful for that experience.
I'm glad Minchie stayed. You know, another player, I had no idea what they were going to do, but I was hoping they were going to stay. But this is a veteran player with a lot of new players going into his position room. Yeah. And I was wondering what they're thinking. You probably know where I'm going, but Deion Colsey.
Yes.
And he had a good blue goal game.
Yeah.
Showed up, played well, and I'm glad he's going to fight for playing time. And it only helps this Notre Dame football team to have, you know, some veteran players to go to. If he's not the starter right away, opportunity could be there very, very soon. So this is good for the offense.
It is, and the thing is, he is very close to his degree. He will be a senior academically in the fall, so he should get his degree in December. If not, he'd be a couple of credit hours away. And then because he took a medical redshirt last year, remember how protracted that recovery yes. was from the knee surgery. So he was actually just under the limit. He could go play somewhere as a fifth-year player in 2025 and do that then and have his Notre Dame degree. So, again, the kind of kid you recruit to Notre Dame, I'm not saying they don't jump in the portal. They do. But a lot of them, this degree means something to them.
True.
And it's going to make them tap the brakes a little bit. And I'll tell you another guy that I think people are surprised, and I think I would be, until Blue Gold weekend, I am too, is Tyson Ford, the defensive lineman, you know, who's been kind of idling on the depth chart. He hasn't really moved up and then, you know, took some time away from the team to make this decision. But I saw all kinds of social media with his mom, Lynn Sims Ford, and him during Blue Gold weekend with Notre Dame stuff on. So
awesome.
You'd think they would have I don't know, some other school, Missouri stuff on if they. Yeah.
Good to see Gabe Rubio's not in the portal. Didn't expect it, yeah. But took some time away this spring and is expected back. I think those right. are your words yeah. when the Fighting Irish get going in
They're
the
my
fall.
Words because they were Marcus Freeman's words. I copied off of his paper.
I'm quoting work at InsideIndySports.com. All right. So those are players that are staying within the program. There's been some reports that Notre Dame has sent out some offers to right. players in the transfer portal. I think it's fair to say two cornerbacks
yep.
have been offered. One has been on campus, mm-hmm. and nothing has happened as of yet. Where do you think we stand right now with the coaching staff? I think it is fair to say trying to replace the depth lost with Clarence Lewis and maybe a tad bit of Micah Bell.
Right, and some people will say, well, wait a second, they're adding and they're not even at 85, and we can talk about that later, yes. how they'll get there, but I still think they want to add a cornerback and add a punter. So with the cornerback, the number one target is Rice's, Trayshon, Devon's, and I think the reason why they offered Montre Miller from West Virginia, who barely played there because of injury, he's originally from Kent State, spent a season at West Virginia, is to have a backup plan in case Trayshon picks another. And I've had a chance to talk to Trayshon. We texted the other day. He wants this to be a spiritual decision, so he's waiting for an answer for above, and I'm not making light of that. He just said, I can't put God on a timetable, and I understand that. So originally he said May 1st, but I think he has a lot to think about and where he's torn. If this wasn't about starting or not starting, this was an easy decision. He loved Marcus Freeman. He loved Notre Dame. He loved everything about Notre Dame. He couldn't believe how professional everything was. And he said, there's no comparison. The thing is he comfortable with not being a starter? He would be the fourth cornerback with a chance to compete to move up a little bit. He's not going to hop Ben Morrison. He's probably not going to hop the other two guys. But I think you can get some pretty good reps as even the number four cornerback on a team that plays a lot of cornerbacks. And that's what he has to decide. I think that's where he's torn in terms of coming to Notre Dame or not. And I would expect that his decision will probably come within the week. I don't think he's going to take too many more visits. I know he picked up another offer from Duke the other day. He's really a mature young man who really has his head on straight. And so I think he'll make a good decision. But, yeah, he's in the mix still.
So Trayshon is a player that if he goes to a Power 5 school that is offered, and there's a good chance he's going to start.
Yeah.
If he comes to Notre Dame to be a part of an NFL-style defense, a chance to do something very special this year, but be a backup going in, that's a tough choice.
It is tough because I'm sure he can look at film and say, wow, Christian Gray's pretty good and Jaden yeah. Mickey's pretty good and Ben Morrison is projected as a first-round draft choice in the draft that I'm trying to get into. Yeah, it's difficult, but I think Notre Dame was square with him as far as this is what your opportunity could look like. And he'd be valuable because he can play all three of those cornerback positions. There's not a lot of guys with that kind of cornerback versatility, and that's what you get sometimes with a portal guy, a guy that really could be good at all three.
Eric Hansen, publisher, editor, Hall of Fame writer at InsideIndySports.com. I'm Darren Pritchett talking Notre Dame football here on WSBT Radio. Okay, I want to touch on this. I don't think this is really much to be concerned about, but there was a little buzz yesterday about Bruno Fina, an offensive lineman from UCLA, who his first 3 years played six games, not started, played, and then he started last year at left tackle, and I saw someone reference, but I could not validate the statement, that he was one of the lowest rated offensive tackles by Pro Football Focus. So
in pass blocking.
And was it just pass blocking? Yeah. Okay, they referenced just overall.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm assuming, based on what I have read, there probably will be very little interest, despite the fact the portal seems pretty dry when it comes to offensive linemen.
Especially offensive tackles. You know, we were talking on Football Never Sleeps on Monday night. Now, I think this ratings were off, but they had – this includes winter and spring offensive linemen, all positions. Joey Tonona was the number five offensive line prospect, according to Rivals. Now, I think that's too high. And, I mean, he hasn't played a stitch of football yet. He got injured in a car accident. I think he's a interesting prospect, but – number five of all the offensive linemen, but there weren't a lot of real good ones. I mean, the good ones went into the NFL draft. That's what players of that age do. They're not like, well, how about if I just play another year of college? Because eight of them got drafted in the first round, and really nine of them, if you count the kid from Duke, Barton.
Yeah,
he's going to play center. But he was a left tackle at Duke
and didn't play against the Irish.
Right. So I mean that's they're in demand, and again, what you want is experience and really good experience. And this is where I think maybe I don't do a great job of conveying this, or we as a beat don't do a great job of conveying this. There's talent and there's numbers at tackle at Notre Dame. There is not experience. You just lost a first and a second round draft choice. You don't rotate in offensive linemen the way you do a lot of other positions. And so a lot of those guys don't have experience. What you're worried about is their inexperience, not their lack of talent. And so, and it gets magnified by the fact that all these other position groups at Notre Dame look pretty darn good right now. I mean, you're looking at, you know, the linebackers, you're looking at the defensive line going, wow. And then they go against that offensive line. And, of course, I mean, we knew that that was going to be a work in progress in the spring. If they had been cooked by the end of the spring, if they were done, like, as a cake, that would have been miraculous. That wasn't going to happen. And I still think they can be better than average and maybe much better than average. But a lot of things are going to have to happen this summer and in August for – but it's not because of lack of talent. You look at, I mean, I put in my chat, Charles Jaguza, Tom Lemming put him from a talent standpoint at the same age in the same class as McGlinchey, Nelson, Stanley.
Wow, okay.
Now think about Mike McGlinchey, though, as a freshman, what he was like. I mean, he was awkward and... Yep. You know, Quentin Nelson was showing some of it. Ronnie Stanley a little bit. But I think Charles Jaguza actually showed more than two of those three guys as a true freshman and a guy coming off some pretty serious knee surgery.
So bizarre. For so many years, the Irish have had some great offensive tackles. But there were deficiencies elsewhere on the roster holding them back from being great. And now we fast forward to 2024, everything's starting to fall into place around in the program, and this is the one year where you don't have the experienced offensive tackles ready to go. Now, again, they could be just fine come the fall, but when you haven't seen it, I understand fans being concerned. Totally get it.
And you know, there's been underclassmen allowed to enter the NFL draft for 35 years. This is... In the first 34, Notre Dame never had an offensive lineman go as a true junior. Say, I'm leaving as a true junior. And then in one cycle, you have two of them. And they go in the first and the second round. So even if you had just one of them had stayed, you would have said, okay, all right.
Kind of like Cross and Mills. If we get one back, we're going to be just fine. Oh, we got both back. Yeah. Celebration. Well, I'll tell you what.
And one of them is the highest drafted Notre Dame football player in over 30 years at number five.
Good old Rick Meyer.
Yeah.
Seattle Seahawks, way back in the day. Okay. Well, Alt's going to be fantastic playing right tackle for the Chargers. And it looks like Fisher's got a great shot at right tackle. We'll talk more about that coming up in our next segment. All right. One more thing to get to. As we start the program with our opening topics, Dallas Golden picked the Fighting Irish this week. He is a very intriguing player from the standpoint, A, he's got a great name, and Golden coming to Notre Dame is perfect. But watching his tape and reading about him, Eric, could this be a situation where there might be some arm wrestling in the coaches' offices trying to get this guy into their position room? Because with his versatility, it would seem like he would have the chance for success at several positions here at Notre Dame.
I think he could, and in a different era, that would be more of an open question. But I think, again, with the transfer portal, you're able to plug holes. And then you start to look at those other positions. Wide receiver is starting to upgrade in terms of speed and in terms of numbers. And if he's not a full-time wide receiver, if he's not a starter, why would you move him out of cornerback? Same with running back. I mean, you know, Jeremiah Love is going to be a sophomore, so he's not going to be draft eligible. I could see Jadarian Price leaving after this year. But, I mean, those two freshmen are going to be really good running backs. You look at Notre Dame's running back recruiting in the 2025 class. It's outstanding. I think Dallas Golden will play defensive back, but, yeah, he has a lot of versatility. I think he'll be a corner, and Mike Mickens will win that arm wrestling match.
Rivals has him ranked pretty high as a corner, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Like 15th?
And, right. Wow. Yeah, and I think he will be a guy that will continue to rise in the rankings. He's one of those, like Owen Strebig. I remember when I said, that there's no way this guy's not a top 100, and then all of a sudden he popped into the top 100, and I think he's in the top 50 now, the big offensive tackle from Wisconsin. I wouldn't be surprised if he's a five-star. I think this guy has a chance to be a really high four-star.
Okay, so keep an eye on Dallas Golden, the 20th commitment for the Fighting Irish in the class of 2025. 20 commitments on May 1st. That is being ahead of the curve, and this will only benefit Notre Dame later on this year because they can spend more time on the 26th class. All right, 5:32, along with Eric Hansen, I'm Darren Pritchett. We'll talk about former Notre Dame players and their new homes in the National Football League, including Maris Leofau, third round to the Dallas Cowboys. We'll have that conversation coming up in a moment on Sports Radio 960 WSBT. Twenty-two minutes in front of 6 o'clock, we welcome you back to Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat, brought to you by Budweiser and Ghost Energy. It's the feel-good energy drink we've all been waiting for, featuring Sour Patch Kids-inspired flavors. Barnaby's of Mishawaka and Granger, now with three locations, serving Michiana's most favorite pizza since 1978. Bethel University Athletics. Sign-ups for youth summer sports camps are underway. Visit bupilots.com for details. And First State Bank, committed to being a premier financial partner. First State Bank demonstrates and delivers hometown values. I'm Darren Pritchett, joined by Eric Hansen, my co-host today and tomorrow during the 5 o'clock hour. He's a Hall of Fame writer and a publisher and an editor, all at InsideIndySports.com. Covers Notre Dame athletics, in particular football and women's basketball, at InsideIndySports.com, part of the Rivals Network. And his live chat with Irish football fans was earlier today. A recap coming up in our 5:30 segment tomorrow here on Sports Radio 960.
Their game, the chatters today.
Say that again?
The chatters were on their game today. They were good.
See, this is where it could tail off after the blue goal game, but
They were on fire today. And speaking of Barnaby's, my 12-year-old grandson's baseball team is sponsored by them. So thank you, Barnaby's.
Well, they'll be getting a championship trophy then very, very soon.
Or at least a pizza, hopefully.
Hey, Barnaby's has got a lot of baseball trophies there in Mishawaka. So, by golly, we'll add one more, hopefully, to the list coming up very, very soon. All right, 5:39 is our time. The NFL draft, wow, what a turnout in Detroit. Over 700,000 fans. My question is, for those gobs of people all together watching the draft very close to the stage or even in the back portion, what happens if you have to go to the bathroom? If you're in the middle of that, I was thinking about
I'm going to take that as a rhetorical question and not actually try to answer that.
Just watching it, it's like, if you got to go to the bathroom and it's dark, that's got to be a task.
Or icky.
Icky. You hope your neighbor makes the trip to the bathroom. LA Chargers went with Joe Alt with the fifth overall selection, and they took another Notre Dame player in cornerback Cam Hart. We can also add to that list, they signed as an undrafted free agent Notre Dame's their nickel last year in Thomas Harper. I think that's like 9 Chargers taken since 2013 from the University of Notre Dame. So Aloy Gilman's still doing great things for the Chargers. Not a surprise that Harbaugh went with Alt, because you can tell he wants to run the football like he did at Michigan. Mm-hmm. And you've got the Slater kid at left tackle for the Chargers. Alt probably goes right to right tackle. And even though you got this high-powered, strong-arm quarterback in Justin Herbert, it looks like that they want to be able to control the line of scrimmage, run the football. And I have zero concerns about Joe Alt moving from left to right tackle. That will be no problem.
I don't think it will be either. Neither did he. I was able to be on his Zoom on draft night, and then I also was able to eavesdrop in on the Jim Harbaugh, Joe Hortiz. Joe is their GM, first-year GM, and listen in on that conversation and their reasoning and so forth for taking him. And he'll be a heck of a pass blocker too, so I'm sure that factors in. But, yeah, they wanted the best available player, and they got, you know, people said, why not a wide receiver? They got a wide receiver in the second round, and if you put – those combinations together, I think you got a really decent wide receiver
McConkey.
And the best tackle. Had you flipped that, you would have got a really good wide receiver, but you wouldn't have got nearly. Mm. You would have had, at best, the 9th best tackle, if not further down the list. So,
well, as Jim Harbaugh said, offensive tackles are weapons, and offensive tackles are the tip of the spearhead.
The spear, that's what it was.
Mm. Oh, boy. Good luck, L.A., with the commentary of Jim Harbaugh. He will keep you on your toes. It's really interesting that Joe Alt went to the Chargers, and it's a great pick, but Jim Harbaugh had some great resources that know Joe Alt from their past experiences at Notre Dame. You have to say Mike Elston, who went to Michigan after being the Irish defensive line coach for many years and defensive coordinator for one game, went to his alma mater at Michigan, now followed Harbaugh to L.A. So his defensive lineman went up against Alt, and also Chris O'Leary, who was the defensive back coach here at Notre Dame. He's gone to the Chargers. So those are two great voices that Harbaugh and the GM could really rely on to understand the type of player they could get in Joe Alt.
And Jim Harbaugh did mention those two, and a couple others that could have pitched in there. Mike Hiestand, Harry Hiestand's son, is a defensive assistant, you know, kind of like the analyst role. So he's not a position coach, but he's a defensive assistant on the Charger staff. And then Rick Minter is also, and he knows of Joe Alt, but so I'm sure Harry was in their ear too.
And Chris O'Leary could deliver a terrific report on Cam Hart, who slipped a tad bit into
and
the
Thomas
fifth
Harper.
Round. And Harper as well. But Cam's the guy that slipped in the draft a little further possibly than we expected. I thought with his size, length of his arms, athleticism, he might go a little bit earlier, but there is an opening at corner for the Chargers, so this could be a great opportunity for him.
I think the ankle weight for him was the
injuries.
Medicals. The medical history, people just being a little hesitant.
Okay. Maris Leifau. We had this conversation last week, and one of our conversations was, if there's one guy that's going to go sooner than all of you expect, it's going to be Maris Leifau. And what do you know? in round number three. Leah Fowle, the third Notre Dame player off the board. He goes to the Dallas Cowboys. Now, we discussed, Eric, Marist is an interesting player, a guy whose numbers, pro day, those type of things are going to look very, very good. He can get after the quarterback. He can drop back in coverage. So he has skill sets that the NFL is looking for. I guess where I come into the conversation, with all that being said, I just see the inconsistencies, the highs and the lows. There just seem to be some highs and lows with Marist now at the next level. Maybe they can draw more out of him with a smaller role. But I'd like to get your reaction to what Marist did here and how it might translate to America's team.
Well, it was interesting because I did talk to Carter Carls, who's been a guest on this show and who was a regular on this show when he was in this market. Carter is a huge Dallas Cowboys fan. He covers Texas A&M for 247 Sports. And we were having this discussion, and he thinks Marist will have a chance to compete. And we're both, you know, not sure what to think about this, because there's a part of it where it just may never happen for Marist. And yet there's so many people that look at him and say, his best football's ahead of him. His best football, he hasn't gotten there yet. And I think we saw certainly strides towards that last year. Missing the 2021 season really set him back. I remember seeing him. I was going to do a big story going into 2022 on him. And I actually did the interview. And then I saw him after practice really laboring to walk across the street to the Goog and saying, I don't see it. I can't write the story and say he's the next big thing right now. So I never wrote the story. It was a fun interview, including how Sonia Citron, his girlfriend, beat the snot out of him at basketball on 101. So it could happen for him. I think third round was, to me, too much of a gamble. You know, I could see fifth or sixth, and that being a really good spot to take that risk, because he may turn into something special. There were flashes of him in the 2020 season, especially against North Carolina, where you just went, okay, this is going to happen. And again, I mean, he's just an interesting kid. These Hawaii kids tend to over-deliver both at the college level and beyond. And so, you know, again, maybe they're writing that. It was interesting because there was almost not room for him in that recruiting class. Him and J.D. Bertrand both. They were the last two guys. It looked like J.D. Bertrand was going to have to be on academic scholarship, and that Marist might have to gray shirt, meaning he'd enroll later. And they both made it, and now they're both in the NFL.
Hmm. Okay. Well, again, maybe early on he might have a niche role with that defense.
That makes sense.
And he will be in charge of doing this for the Dallas defense. I mean, Micah Parsons spends so much time as a quote-unquote linebacker who's now coming off the edge and getting after the quarterback. They need more stability at linebacker. So Marist Leah Fowle at least is in the conversation.
Yeah.
There in I mean, he'll never be on national TV. We'll never see him playing for the Cowboys. I mean, they're never on TV.
The one thing you can make a case for, even the last 2 years, is that Jack Kaiser was more productive than Marist. And had more similar number of tackles with about half as many reps.
And Kaiser was the guy that went off the field.
Yeah, Kaiser was the guy that went off the field. So it'll be really interesting to see how Kaiser develops this year and see if he ultimately is the better player on the next level. But very interesting. And I'm rooting for Marist. It sounds like I'm throwing water on him. There's a part of me that could see that happening, that say, oh, yep, the Cowboys are smart.
549, Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett with you. Notre Dame players taken in the NFL draft. I'm going to do a segment tomorrow on this guy. So I just want to get your thoughts going into that conversation tomorrow, because obviously as a Denver Bronco fan, Audric Estime went to the Denver Broncos, and now I'm just picturing on Sundays, Eric, you're...
Seven.
I don't know if he's going to wear seven. Well, actually, he's not going to wear seven because there's a pretty good quarterback, I think, that was on my wall posters and won a couple of Super Bowls in John Elway. So maybe he'll be Red Grange in 77 with the Denver Broncos. But Eric, he went in the fifth round. We were expecting him to slip down the line. That's exactly what happened. There actually was a running back taken in the second round, the kid from Texas with injury problems. Yeah. And I think it was Carolina that took him a little early. But then that pushed back. Eventually, the running back got pushed back like we expected. And Audric went in the fifth round. Do you think his combine 40 time is the number one reason why he slipped all the way to the fifth round? And I'm not shocked he went in the fifth round. I thought he might go in the fourth. But it was, if I'm not mistaken, late fifth round.
He was actually kind of early in the fifth round.
My mistake.
It went. And Kim Hart, J.D. Bertrand, and Audric went within seven picks of each other. It was boom, boom, boom. But I think it was more positional value than anything else. And also that Audric isn't that receiver type running back. Not that he can't catch the ball and not that he won't work toward being more of that, but he doesn't project as that much. But there's a lot to like about him on and off the field. I would have taken him in a heartbeat. I would have adopted him if I could have. So I think he'll do really well. I don't know Denver's situation as well as you do. You follow them. What do you think? How does he fit in with what they have?
Well, Javonte Williams, you remember him at North Carolina, had a devastating knee injury during the 22 campaign, came back this year. I just didn't think he was as explosive coming off that surgery. And, Eric, I think the big news involving Javonte is his rookie deal runs out after next season. Mm-hmm. They had a free agent signing that worked out pretty well, Jaleel McLaughlin, a little speedier guy. But I think he's just more of a share type running back. And they got a P-line, the kid from Cincinnati, the Bengals, who's just a third down back, more of a receiver guy, which I think he'll fill that role still this year with Denver. So I think there is an opportunity for Audric. And I was going to share this tomorrow, and I think I might have mentioned it on Monday. I had zero expectation Denver would take Estime because I thought they needed more of a speedy back to go with Javonte Williams. But then I remembered Sean Payton in New Orleans. You think of Alvin Kamara right away, the old Tennessee running back, runs the ball between the tackles, speed, great pass catcher, does everything for you. I was thinking that's where he'd be going. But if you remember Sean Payton for a while, he had a guy by the name of Mark Ingram, Heisman Trophy winner from Alabama, more of that rugged running back. And possibly Eric Audric could fill that role. And it's one of those systems where you get one cut. And I think that, wouldn't you say, gives Audric a great chance to have some success in this offense?
I think he'll do well.
I hope so. We need a lot of help.
Okay.
The first team in the history of the NFL to win a Super Bowl and miss the playoffs each of the next 8 years.
Wow.
Got to get the quarterback right. And that's been a major issue. So it's now the Bo Nix show. Very accurate at Oregon. I'll tell you what, I'm intrigued. But when you take the sixth quarterback at pick number 12, it's just scary. If you get it right, it doesn't matter.
Do you like Nix better than any of the five that went ahead of him?
Well, one of my questions coming up in a segment either tonight or tomorrow is about these quarterbacks. And I say, of the six, which three do I believe will turn out the best?
Okay.
And I have Bo Nix amongst those three.
Wow, okay.
And I think the biggest question mark is J.J. McCarthy.
I would agree with you.
Hey, one at Michigan. Great defense, great running game. People say he hasn't showed his true ability because he wasn't asked to throw the football that much. Okay. But I just... It's a dangerous pick. I mean, Minnesota, if they get it right, good for them. And like someone, I think it was Colin Coward, said today, if Denver hits on Bo Nix, the Russell Wilson fiasco and dead money thing goes away because you fixed it.
Yeah.
And if the Vikings find their answer in J.J. McCarthy, then they didn't pick him too early.
What was Carter Carl's quote, do you remember, on our show?
Oh, I have it right here. Yeah, okay. I got the sound bite right here. Do you want me to play it?
Yeah.
All right. This was Carter Carl's last year or last summer telling us the Notre Dame, Tommy Rees, J.J. McCarthy recruiting story.
Drew Pine, not very good. Tyler Buchner, didn't ever show the potential. Brendan Clark didn't end up being any good. So you had like three straight misses. Phil Dracovic, that's another one. I mean, it's pretty bad when you think about it. Under Tommy Rees, the quarterbacks they recruited.
How'd J.J. McCarthy turn out, by the way?
Yeah. I remember, this is actually a funny story, when I was covering Notre Dame for you guys, I got a DM from J.J. McCarthy. I probably shouldn't share this, but he was basically
saying, "Come on! Oh, you got to say it now."
He's like, "Oh, if Notre Dame offered me, I would run to South Bend right now and accept the offer and commit." And I was like, whoa. And so I was kind of keeping an eye on that. And then, you know, they ended up choosing Buchner over him. So, yeah, that. Sorry, Notre Dame fan.
He would run, crawl, hitchhike to South Bend. Yeah. And from what I was told, the person recruiting J.J. McCarthy barely got out of his car at his high school. He was in and out before you could even see who it was. So I think the mind was already made up, and maybe just the steps were taken to be there and come back home. And the rest is history. And good for J.J. McCarthy. It worked out very well for him. 5:57, we'll take a timeout. We've got our Twitter question of the day results coming up next here on WSBT. Six 601 at WSBT. Let's quickly get to our Twitter question of the day results. Did not have a question yesterday because of the shortened show. So let's go back to Monday. Eric Hansen, Darren Pritchett with you. Our Sports Beat, InsideIndySports.com Twitter question of the day, available at 960SportsBeat. My question was, which of these Notre Dame drafted players will have the most successful NFL career? The three I gave you. Now, obviously, I didn't go with Joe Alder, Blake Fisher. I went further down the line. So which of these drafted players will have the most successful NFL career? Linebacker Maris Leofau, drafted by the Dallas Cowboys. You've got cornerback Cam Hart, taken by the L.A. Chargers. Or running back Audric Estime. He's now a Denver Bronco. Eric, your answer?
I went with Cam Hart.
Okay.
But I wouldn't bet against Audric Estime after I just showered him with compliments. I still think Cam Hart at 6'3", he stays healthy. He's a different kind of cornerback. There's not a lot of guys like that.
He might run into Audric Estime on a sweep to the outside. We'll see how that goes. Okay, here are the results. Coming in third place with only 10% of the vote was Maris Leofau.
Sonia Citron voted for him.
Multiple times. Very close voting. Second place was 44.7. First place was 45.3. So just a couple of votes in between these two. Second place at 44.7%, LA Chargers cornerback Cam Hart. And just edging him out, Irish running back Audric Estime, now a Denver Bronco, at 45.3%. So a couple of hanging chads were the difference, but you really can't go wrong with Hart or Estime has your answer. Earlier today, I posted this question. After Sam Hartman was not taken in the NFL draft but signed as a free agent by Washington, do you believe Notre Dame quarterback Riley Leonard will be selected in the 2025 NFL draft? A simple yes or no answer.
I say yes.
I would say definitely yes, barring an injury happening this year. I think there's an outstanding chance he could be a very in-demand quarterback from this standpoint. A is tool set, but also this is supposed to be a very weak quarterback draft class. That's why a lot of teams went and got their quarterback this year, because many of the analysts say this is going to be a big drop-off in this quarterback class. So with that being said, there is a spot for Riley Leonard, maybe high up the board, if all goes well. And he's got Mike Denbrock as his offensive coordinator. Last time I checked, 3 LSU offensive players went in the first round. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, so we'd love to get your input. You can go to my Twitter X account at 960SportsBeat and vote on whether you believe Riley Leonard will be selected in the 2025 NFL draft. And we thank you in advance. Okay, now that we've taken care of that, let's find out what you will find when you visit InsideIndySports.com. And the guy who knows is the Hall of Fame writer, editor, and publisher at InsideIndySports.com, Eric Hansen.
Well, the big news today is the chat transcript from Notre Dame Football Live Chat every Wednesday at noon. Dissecting Notre Dame's transfer portal window aftermath was the big theme there. We have scads of recruiting news. Tyler updated the heat index with new targets coming into focus and official visits getting lined up. We have where all the Notre Dame assistant coaches are recruiting. We have podcasts. We have Football Never Sleeps on YouTube. And Darren, there's even much, much more.
You are the first journalist I ever heard use the word scads. And I don't believe anybody else I follow or listen to or cover uses that particular word. I like it, though.
Well, thank you.
Scads.
Scads.
Which means a lot.
Yes.
So scads, thank you. A large thank you. We get to do this again tomorrow. Can't you wait?
I have scads of anticipation.
Okay. All right. We will see you tomorrow.
Sounds good.
That's Eric Hansen. Check him out at InsideIndySports.com. 7 minutes after 6 o'clock. Sports update coming up in a moment here on WSBT. It's the time of the year. 6:15 on your home of the Fighting Irish. Sports Radio 960. WSBT. My name is Darren Pritchett. Short segment here, but I want to touch on this. This is one of those things that you have to take with a little grain of salt. But Bruce Feldman from The Athletic had a conversation with an NFL offensive assistant coach. That coach remains anonymous. But this NFL offensive assistant told Feldman this about the guy the Chicago Bears took number one overall in the NFL draft, quarterback Caleb Williams from USC. Quote, he gives off a Russell Wilson vibe with this lack of self-awareness. I'm kind of above everybody. End quote. So that's what an anonymous NFL offensive assistant, his opinion of Caleb Williams. Now, is Caleb someone that is bold? Absolutely. I think we could argue most quarterbacks, if they are not cocky, they are very confident in their abilities. In fact, to play that position, I want my quarterback to be very confident in their abilities. Now, Russell Wilson, he is someone, just based on his 2 years with my team, the Broncos, that is fair to say that he does lack self-awareness. Some of the things that he does, says, things he wanted within the organization were odd and I think lacked self-awareness. That's a great way of putting it. And I did get the feeling at times that Russell was a little bit fond of himself and above everybody. And I don't think he was totally worried about being a football player based on his, I don't think at times, stick his nose into some greasy areas. Caleb Williams paints his fingernails. I know that turns people off. He wrote some things on his fingernails when he played Notre Dame. Not saying it's cool, but that's his personality. That's who he's going to be. Jim McMahon had an awkward personality. He was the funky QB. If you win, it doesn't matter. If Caleb Williams turns into a great quarterback and the Bears win, it's not going to matter. It only matters if you are not a good player or you do not help your team win. That's when this happens. When Russell Wilson was winning a Super Bowl with the Seahawks, this wasn't talked about. Now, some stuff leaked out maybe toward the end of his Seattle tenure where I think the Seahawks probably got the feeling that Russell was a little too fond of himself, and it showed up that way in Denver. But if Caleb is a great player, none of this matters. These type of comments don't matter. You will be frustrated as a Bears fan if he doesn't turn into a franchise quarterback, if he doesn't become the first Bear quarterback to throw for 4,000 yards in a season and doesn't bring him a Super Bowl title. When it's time to complain about these things, do so, but it's a little early. And again, these quarterbacks are a little quirky. Hockey goalies are kind of the same way, a little on the quirky side. All right, we'll have some Notre Dame football recruiting conversation coming up next on WSBT. It's time to talk Notre Dame football recruiting on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat and also on the Blue and Gold YouTube channel. We would love for you to subscribe to the Blue and Gold YouTube channel and like this video featuring Mike Singer, the Notre Dame football recruiting insider at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Mike, good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you as well. You doing well?
I'm doing great. Well, good. Dallas Golden, member of the class of 2025 for the Fighting Irish, the 20th commitment already, Mike. That's pretty amazing. But a guy named Dallas Golden, he's got to go to Texas or Notre Dame, and I'm glad he went with the Golden part of his name as he picked the Fighting Irish. So two things. Number one, I'd love to hear about this guy because I find him really intriguing. And number two, where in the world is he going to play? He's got a lot of choices.
Dallas Golden, fantastic young man, fantastic player, awesome recruiting story. We'll start with the latter part, how his recruitment came together, Darren. This 6 foot, 182-pound safety from Tampa Berkeley Prep, nation's number 104 overall player, number 12 safety. We'll talk about the position in a little bit. But when Notre Dame offered Dallas Golden, Keon Keeley was still committed to the Fighting Irish, Darren. That just kind of shows you how long Notre Dame's been recruiting Dallas Golden. I mean, Keeley was in the 2023 class. So August of 2022, I mean, Keeley was still months away from signing with the school, and then Notre Dame's offering a class of 2025 prospects. So, and this was not something, a flyby offer where they just dish it out and they don't really talk to him. No, they have been recruiting this young man hard for, you know, a year and a half plus. So a key target. When we talk about top targets for Notre Dame in the 2025 class, it doesn't get much bigger than Dallas Golden. This is someone who the staff has badly wanted. This really came down to Notre Dame and Clemson. I think that was kind of the top two. Georgia very much in the mix, and Florida State. So I think those were the four. And then he also visited A&M, Miami, and UCF in the spring, Darren. You want to know one school that he did not visit? He did not go to Notre Dame. He has not been to Notre Dame since January. And all those schools I just talked about, he's been to since his January 20th visit to Notre Dame. But when I interviewed him, I got to talk to him a couple nights before he announced his commitment. He told me that that January 20th visit to Notre Dame just was so special to him, along with how hard the staff has been recruiting him And he even mentioned Deuce Knight. You know, I know there's people out there that are concerned about, you know, maybe Deuce flipping to another school, or, you know, schools out there that think they can get Deuce, about Deuce Knight and the job he's doing for Notre Dame on the recruiting front, and helping the Irish land Dallas Golden. So a huge commitment. He was going to take an official visit to Clemson in early June. That won't be happening any longer, Darren. He's all Notre Dame. I even asked him, hey, do you think you might talk to other schools? Like, how do you plan on handling that? He stopped me mid-question, Darren. He said, no, sir, no, sir. My family and I were not interested in the decommitting thing. So all good signs there. Now, to talk about the position, he plays corner, safety, some quarterback, running back, receiver. He really can do it all. A big-time junior season there, and he led Berkeley Prep. And Berkeley's a very solid program. He led them to their first state title in Florida, the Florida 2M division. SB Live named Golden their 2023 Player of the Year in that division. He had 5 picks, 4 pass breakups, a block field goal, and then offensively, a total weapon, 205 carries, 1,467 yards, and 19 touchdowns, and then added 32 receptions, 394 yards, and 5 scores, even through a touchdown. So the question of where is he going to play, he's going to start out at corner. I know my colleague Mike Goolsby would like him to play offense. I get it. But to find a corner like him, it's very difficult. Like, he's going to be like a, like, he has like the up, like it could be like a Ben Morrison, like that lockdown corner. But I think Dallas Golden is just more athletically gifted than Benjamin Morrison. So you just get Dallas Golden in your program and good things are going to happen. So this is a huge recruiting win, Darren, and I'm going to go see him in about a week, and I'm really excited to see him again in action. Someone who, you know, I've been very familiar with and have seen him in person before. He's talented.
Just your opinion, is there a spot you love him at more than any other?
I mean, it's most fun at, like, slot receiver, that's for sure. Yeah, I mean, for folks watching on YouTube, just watch him run like a little slant, just beat this guy off the line. Corner might be my least position or least favorite position for him. Just personally, based on you know, selfish reasons. Like, I kind of like him safety, you know, so he can have a little bit more range on the field for it in terms of what he can do. But if the Notre Dame staff likes him at corner, you know, I'll roll with what they believe.
So there could be a little tug of war in the coaches' offices trying to get that guy into their position room. Hey, that's a nice problem to have. Versatility is so important in college football today. So, Mike, whether he's a defensive back or on the offensive side of the football, where do you think the Irish are right now in terms of defensive back recruiting in this cycle?
Yeah. So I always like to remind folks, I haven't been covering Notre Dame football recruiting forever. I think my one-year anniversary is tomorrow. Or excuse me, 1 year. Five-year anniversary is May 1st, Darren. So I want to kind of throw it to you after I'm done giving my little spiel of this is like Notre Dame's best defensive back class since when? Like, I would love to know, like, on paper, this is so good. You have Dallas Golden, who is, again, the nation's number 104 overall player, number 12 safety. I don't think he's even the best defensive back in the class. He's the best athlete. But Ivan Taylor from the Orlando, Florida area is an absolute freak show. I think he's a nickel or a safety, whatever. He's not the biggest guy, but boy, is he an absolute star. 5'11", 163 pounds. The son of Ike Taylor, former Steelers defensive back. Again, Taylor, top 100 prospect. He's as good as they come. Just everything that he does, he's just a complete defensive back. He played corner at Irish Invasion. He was outstanding when we saw him last summer, and I liked him the most there. But he's just as good as, if not better, at the safety position. When you see him on film, Cree Thomas, when you watch his film, reminds you of Ben Morrison, and they just happen to go from the same high school at Phoenix Brophy Prep. Three-star, according to three of the websites, Rivals ranks Thomas as a four-star. You know, I think he's like a low four-star type guy, but boy, is he technically sound at the position. Cree Thomas looks, I think, really good on film. And then Ethan Long, 6'2", 185 pounds, you know, draws some, you know, when you're talking about stylistically how he plays the game of football, at the safety position, it gets some Kyle Hamilton vibes. Pick Notre Dame over Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan. Three-star guy, but another really impressive one with his length. And then, Darren, Notre Dame looks to be trending for Mark Zachary, the Indianapolis Ben Davis cornerback, who on three reported is, you know, looking at making a decision soon. We'll see just how soon. Soon's a very relative term, but he's a top 100 player per the on-three industry ranking. Michigan, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Florida, some of his offers. So if that's five right there, Darren, and then who knows, maybe they get a Jaden Blair, an elite safety from North Carolina. I'm not feeling confident about that one. But if you get those four plus Zachary, I mean, goodness gracious. When I, Darren, when I started at Blue and Gold, Clarence Lewis was a three-star from New Jersey, pretty unheralded, came in the summer, and then beat out Tariq Bracey as a true freshman starting corner. That's not happening anymore. Notre Dame is not in a position where that's going to happen. They are loaded in the secondary these days, it's definitely an exciting time.
I'm not a recruiting guru, but unless I'm just horribly mistaken, during the Kelly administration, I can't recall anything like this. I know it didn't happen during Weiss and Willingham without even recalling.
Three? We're looking at three top 100 recruits in the defensive backfield. Oftentimes, you're signing three defensive backs just in a class, right? Maybe three or four. So this is like they have a Georgia-level recruiting in the secondary when it comes to Notre Dame's 2025 class, Darren. Golden. Ivan Taylor and potentially Mark Zachary. I mean, elites of the elites. It could be a really darn good defensive back class for the Fighting Irish.
He's Mike Singer, Notre Dame football recruiting insider, Blue and Gold Illustrated. Read his work at blueandgold.com. I'm Darren Pritchett from WSBT Radio. Let's go to the offensive side for a moment. Gino Gadulli, Mike Denbrock, they're able to go out on the road right now. What part of the country are they visiting?
Yeah, so bits of context here before we dive into it. We're in the spring evaluation period now. So Notre Dame had its Blue Gold game April 20th. A couple days after, they had, you know, internal meetings with players and staff, and then they hit the road this past Wednesday. So I believe that would have been the 24th. So they can go to a high school once during this, I think it's like a six-week span from mid-April to the end of May. They obviously won't be on the road that full allotment, but they get to hit a bunch of high schools, but again, only stopping once. So they have to be smart about like the timing of when to go into a given high school and who you take. So Gadulli and Denbrock are traveling right now. And for the 2025 class, Darren, they're allowed to sit down and have full on conversations and all that good stuff. So with those two together, you would think they're looking at one position in particular, and yes, it is the quarterback spot. So on Monday, these guys didn't waste much time. They went out and saw Deuce Knight. I was told it was a rainy practice, and it was like tough to, you know, really get a feel of a quarterback in a, you know, when it's raining in spring ball. But I was told that vibes are good with Deuce Knight and Denbrock and Gadulli. I mean, these guys just saw each other in South Bend when Knight was on campus for the Blue Gold game. But anytime that Notre Dame is – look, anytime they go see Knight or Knight goes and sees Notre Dame, it's always news. I'm always going to talk about it because Deuce Knight is an elite talent. He's the nation's number 59 overall player, number 7 quarterback. He is the Irish's quarterback commit in the 2025 class. So, yes, when Deuce Knight does something, it's a big deal because he is a big deal. And I want to add, and I've talked about this a bunch, every single time he gets to Notre Dame, his commitment to the Irish becomes more and more and more solid. I just do not see him leaving Notre Dame at any point. Other schools are going to make different runs. Let's say like a, you know, like a Tennessee or something. If they have a quarterback commit and he decommits, maybe they're going to make a run at night, or a Mississippi, you know, whatever school. They're going to want to try to make a run at Deuce. I'm telling you, Darren, here and there, you're probably going to see Knight pick up a couple more offers that he hasn't gotten, or a school's going to try to get back into the mix with Knight just out of desperation. Then this is the guy they're going to go after because something happened. And I just don't think that he's going to leave the Irish. I think he is very locked in. He's built this, helped build this class, very bought in. Dallas Golden's commitment just keeps on making it more and more like he's tied in, he's plugged in to not only this recruiting class, but this university. So, again, Gadooly and Denbrock got to see Knight on Monday. And then Tuesday, they went down to Central Florida. I don't know the order of these visits. As we record this, Darren, they're probably going on. But the two big 2026 quarterbacks we've been talking about for months now in Central Florida, the guys that look to be on the top of the board for the Irish in that cycle, you got Noah Grubbs, Lake Mary High School. You got Brady Hart from Coco, a guy, you know, both tremendous sophomore seasons. Grubbs lit it up. Hart led Coco to a state championship. I like Notre Dame to land Hart right now, but it would not surprise me in the slightest if Grubbs beat him to that spot. Grubbs is very much liking Notre Dame as well. I think Notre Dame's top two for both of those guys, and maybe leading for both as well. Wow. And then I was also told that they are seeing, as we record this, or did see Michael Clayton from Seminole, Florida in Orlando, 6'3 and a half, 200 pounds, number 390 overall quarterback, number 390 overall player, number 28 quarterback, has offers from Miami, Auburn, Ole Miss, UCF, and others. Wouldn't be shocked if Notre Dame offered him. Not saying it's going to happen, but I'm just telling folks, like, don't be surprised if you see Notre Dame offer a couple more 2026 quarterbacks. That doesn't necessarily mean, though, that Notre Dame's slipping for a Grubbs or Hart. That's always what people think when that kind of thing happens. Oh, Notre Dame's slipping for a so-and-so player because they offered some new ones. I'm telling you, that wouldn't be the case. I think it's really just about expanding the board a little bit and making sure you're not in a situation like you were with Dante Moore a few years ago when you were all in on one player and then he doesn't pick your school and then you're, you know, you're in recovery mode. So Notre Dame is not leaving any stone unturned.
Finally, Mike, 2025 class has 20 commitments as of right now when we record this on April the 30th. Are they continuing to offer more players at this time in the process?
Yeah, and we just saw one go out last night. Receivers coach Mike Brown was in Southern California last week for some road recruiting. And he was at Bonita High School in Southern California and extended an offer, the staff did, to Dylan Robinson, 6'2", 190 pounds, nation's number 314 player, number 12 athlete. Irish looking at him as a receiver. He's also a defensive back prospect for some schools. UCLA and Utah look to be the teams to be currently for him. Notre Dame has jumped right up there to a top contender for him. He's looking at locking in a Notre Dame official visit for the weekend of June 7th. And he's also discussing, you know, internally and with Notre Dame, maybe even an unofficial visit in May, maybe some weekend in May, he's able to go up there for a weekend. So he looks to be pretty serious about Notre Dame already. So that's Dylan Robinson, a new name on the board. And I just talked about, like, with 2026 quarterback recruiting, just because they offer someone doesn't mean they're slipping with someone else. It's the same with Robinson, guys. That doesn't mean that Meadows is going elsewhere. It doesn't not mean that Meadows isn't going to go, right? I mean, Meadows very well could go to Alabama, but you offer a Dylan Robinson for that reason. But they wanted to expand the board, have more options, because if Notre Dame's going to take maybe two more receivers, you only have like four guys on the board, you better be batting pretty darn good at that point. So again, it was wise for the staff to go ahead and offer Robinson, and watching his tape, Darren, you can ask the question, why didn't we offer this guy sooner? Because he does look talented on film, a down the field option, big bodied guy, and seems to be really talented as a route runner with soft hands.
Well, Mike, even though this is the off season, spring practice wrapped up, blue goal game, transfer portal news, NFL draft storylines, still many, many stories daily at blueandgold.com. And recruiting, yeah, of course. Who? How can I leave that out? My gosh.
Yeah, he's trying to put me out of a job. We need the recruiting content.
That's the obvious one.
Busy time is always at blueandgold.com. There really is not a slow time. So we would love for your audience, Darren, and mine on our YouTube channel to consider taking advantage of our UND1 code. So use the promo code UND1. It'll get you 2 months for just $1. So please use the promo code UND1. This is for new subscribers. Again, blueandgold.com is the place to be for all things Notre Dame athletics.
And make sure you just spend a little time, go to YouTube and search the Blue and Gold YouTube channel. There are archive videos on everything you're looking for from recent Notre Dame news. And you'll see a lot of Mike Singer, the Notre Dame football recruiting insider at Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. Enjoy the conversation. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah, and folks making their way to the YouTube channel will even see why Darren has a face for radio, because he appears on our YouTube channel weekly.
Hey, I will not argue that in the least bit. No doubt about it. All right, Mike, be well. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yep, thanks, Darren.
That's Mike Singer, the Notre Dame football recruiting insider, Blue and Gold Illustrated, blueandgold.com. We'll come back with more Sports Beat in a moment on WSBT South Bend.
Hey everyone, Saltgrass Steakhouse is now open in Mishawaka. Wrangle up the crew and head down to Saltgrass Mishawaka for an unforgettable experience. Sink your teeth into mouth-watering, char-grilled, certified Angus beef steaks. Sip on ice-cold craft cocktails. And don't forget to try the famous Spicy Range Rattlers, all made daily in the Scratch Kitchen. Start making delicious memories at Saltgrass Mishawaka, 5126 North Main Street, across from Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries. Dine with us today.